Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
This is when we usually pay attention when it gets to the
billion.
I think
that's the new threshold. It has to be a billion or pretty near.
And now I almost wonder if we have to wait until it does get to a billion before we pay attention.
That would be fine by
because
me.
Too late. We're paying attention.
Well, you're right.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here are your hosts, Vince Petrano and Eric Bilstad.
Not done yet, but there is light at the end of this record-long tunnel.
On this vote, the ayes are 60, the nays are 40. The bill, as amended, is passed.
The U.S. Senate passed a deal overnight that would fund the government into January.
Came together, I think, with a group of folks that finally got tired of federal workers not being paid, airports being clogged up, SNAP recipients not receiving benefits.
Senator James Lankford, Republican, Oklahoma.
Still happening today.
However, the government remains shut down today as the House now will need to pass this bill expected tomorrow. Bringing in ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers from Washington this morning. Karen, I guess the basics. What's different about this bill that passed from all of the other attempts at funding the government that failed?
Well, there were inclusions in there and some promises that Democrats then looked at as their off-ramps. There's a promise to vote in December on a piece of legislation that addresses Affordable Care Act subsidies. There is no guarantee that that legislation will pass. It doesn't fully address it. It just says we will discuss it, essentially, and it's on the agenda now for the month of December. It's not what the Democrats were demanding be included in the government funding bill. You know, that was kind of their thing. They wanted it to be addressed in the funding bill. It also, and this is interesting, it also reverses the Trump administration's firing of federal workers from early on in the shutdown and says that they can't do it as long as this funding bill plays out. So basically through that point in January. I asked the president yesterday about that reversal of firings and whether he signed off on it and if he'll abide by that if this legislation to fund the government passes. And the president said he will abide by that. The deal is very good. So that's a significant thing for some of the members who have significant number of federal workers in their districts. Senator Tim Kaine, for example, of Virginia, was touting that portion of this because that was a very controversial thing when there were firings that were issued early on in the shutdown.
So now the House comes back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are now scrambling to get to Washington. They are expected to start holding their first rounds of votes late tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday. So that would be the earliest they could start passing this. And that would be the plan to then reopen the government. But, you know, it's going to take some time for them to get back in. House members have been out of Washington for more than 50 days. They have not been in session for 50 plus days. They now have to get back. And as you all have been seeing, there are a lot of travel problems right now, too, that lawmakers are going to be impacted by as they make their way back to D.C.
Karen, knowing that you're an Eagles fan, I asked for Portnoy today, but we got stuck with you. So
I know. When I saw you guys on my list, I was like, wow, they are really asking for it. I am very surprised by this booking first thing in the morning.
I asked before the game. I had planned to gloat.
We kind of gave you a chance at the end there, and I am very bewildered by what our coach was doing by going for it on fourth down, but it made it exciting and made me very frustrated at 11:20 last night. But hey, we got the win.
Appreciate you, Karen. Karen Travers live with us from Washington this morning. Yeah, I forgot you brought that up. She's an Eagles fan from Philly.
Yep.
So, all right, she got hers, right?
Hey, you won the game. Yeah. You earned it.
You want to know how that happened? We'll do it in sports next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
The Packers are off to New York next week, coming off their second straight loss at home. This one to the Eagles. Packers down 3, driving late in the fourth, near midfield.
It's Jacobs. Flag flies. Jacobs is brought down, and the ball was out.
And it was indeed a fumble on fourth and one of the Eagles take over. The Packers had a run play to Josh Jacobs called, and Jacobs said the Eagles knew exactly what was coming.
Fourth and one, they called out our play. We ran it like four times. They called it out.
They called out our play. We'd already run it four times. The defense shouting it out at the line before the snap.
Whenever they know what we're doing, they'll never feel good because it changed my mind on how I'm going to run the ball, if we're just being honest. I try to pitch the ball back to Jordan, just where the fumble came. But, you know, at that point, you're playing backyard football. It's fourth down. So, that's kind of how it went.
Backyard football on fourth down with the game on the line.
Is that normal? I'm going to change what I'm going to supposed to do because I fear that they already know it. I mean, shouldn't you just execute the play?
Well, right. Okay, so two things on that. One, you change direction. Brilliant. He adjusted to what the defense was showing him. He knew that it was coming. Okay, and it works. Then it's all good. Although, in this case, it was not all good. Right. That's what you came up with. The flip side of that is, right, I mean, back in high school, my coaches, I want to walk across the line, tell these guys this is the play we're running, and I still want them to not be able to stop.
Right.
So when you beat your man.
Wouldn't you think in the NFL that probably happens a lot, too?
You would think. Jacobs, 74 yards, 21 carries and a touchdown. That was the Packers' only score. Oof. Green Bay loses to Philadelphia 10-7, falling to 5-3-1 on the season, and now in third place in the NFC North behind the Vikings and the Bears. Next up, Giants on the road who just fired their head coach, so you got that going for you.
Packers did have a chance to tie it there at the end.
And then we'll talk about that in sports at 6:45. Oh. Let's line up for a 64-yard field goal twice when it's like 4 degrees.
Yeah, and kick this giant rock and see what happens. An incredible game for the Bucs. You missed a good one. The Deer down 13 in the fourth quarter, scratch and crawl their way back to win a thriller in Dallas. Bucks up 3 with just seconds to go and the Mavericks looking to tie it.
Three-pointer on the way. It misses short. Rebound batted out by Giannis. Another chance. Three-pointer and a foul. Giannis has just fouled P.J. Washington with 1.2 seconds to play in the fourth quarter.
That's when you're like, what are you doing? Hey, man. Hey. Like, come on. Thankfully, P.J. Washington would miss his second free throw. The Bucks pull off the victory.
Some way, somehow, the Bucks will sneak out of here like bank robbers in the night.
116-114, the final. Up next for the Bucks, a trip to Charlotte to play the Hornets tomorrow night. College basketball, EWM. The Panthers beat up on Little Rock 92-72.
It is coming up on 620 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Thanksgiving, just a couple of weeks from Thursday, and just in time, Milwaukee Holiday Guide 2025 Best Christmas Lights, Santa Events, and Festive Family Fun is posted on mkewithkids.com. Founder of Milwaukee with Kids and friend of the program, Callie Herbst, on with us this morning. Hey, Callie.
Good morning. It's such a fun time of year when we've just been so busy trying to organize everything for everyone.
Well, you lay it out so well, but a few of these are either new or improved activities for families. So let's kind of focus on that. Some of them are the holiday light shows, increasingly popular. New one coming to Brown Deer Park?
Yes, which is right in our neck of the woods. So it's called Winter Glow. It's coming to Brown Deer Park November 20th through January 4th. It's a drive-through experience. So another one of these where you bundle everyone up in the car, grab some cocoa, and drive through. It's about a mile. Should take about, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. And then you sync your soundtrack, like your radio or whatever, and it's supposed to be synced to holiday music. So we'll see. This is a brand new one, like you said.
What is how does a snowless tube slide work?
Oh, well, you know, I think I'd have to actually visit. It's down in the Christmas Carnival of Lights, which is one of the largest Christmas light show in the Midwest, like 3 million lights. They have a candy village where you can ice skate. And this year, as you mentioned, they have a giant snowless tube slide. Okay. I mean, yeah, I guess it is what it sounds like. We're going to have to, we'll have to go visit to really see what it is.
Yeah, I like
but they
that.
Also have a, yeah, they also have like a glowing walking path and you can actually, you can drive through their holiday light show or you can take a giant Santa sleigh, which I have seen photos of. It's like a huge wooden Santa sleigh, so you're out in the open air. Kind of a cool experience.
That's Christmas Carnival of Lights. That's the one in Caledonia?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Not too far.
Yeah, yeah. All right. One of my favorite spots in the state of Wisconsin is Old World, Wisconsin. And Santa Claus is returning this year.
Yeah, well, so they're doing this a Breakfast with Santa there. They haven't done this for like 10 years. And so it's back at Old World, Wisconsin in their rustic clausing barn. But then it includes admission to their big holiday event, which is Home for the Holidays, where, you know, it sounds like you really like this kind of stuff, and I do too, where you kind of see how they prepared for the holidays.
Yes,
you know,
old-timey holidays, our heritage.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, and you can learn about old traditions. They have that giant straw goat, which is a Scandinavian holiday tradition. They have Krampus walking around, you know, holiday crafts, wagon rides, old holiday music. So it's really immersive and educational, but also really fun.
So one of our favorite books at our house when our kids were tiny were the Pigeon Drives the Bus books, where the pigeon does all the silly things.
Pigeon does a lot of things.
That was big in your house too, right? Yeah. Is that Greg, are you guys reading the pigeon?
No, we don't have the pigeon books. What are the pigeon books?
We're going to get you the library.
Please.
Anyway, the reason we bring up the pigeon is because the pigeon's coming to Milwaukee.
Yes, First Stage is putting on The Pigeon Gets a Big Time Holiday Extravaganza. That's the name of the show. It's based on that beloved pigeon character that you're talking about. And it's just, it's a good old-fashioned First Stage show. They do a great job every year with the holiday show. It's like 75 minutes. There's an intermission. It's for y'all. It's for ages like 4 and up. So if you want to do a theater experience, that's a new one this year. The Grinch is also coming over Thanksgiving weekend. So that could be a fun thing to do if you have family in from out of town. But yeah, those are the two holiday shows. I mean, there's a lot of holiday shows, but those are two of the new ones.
Yeah, Grinch is a musical. That's at the Marcus Performing Arts Center. Where are we on the holiday markets increasing in popularity? TOSA is not going to do theirs this year, I believe, because of the flooding. But Deer District has one. They're going to stand one up again.
Yes, and I don't know if you guys remember back, like probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, we went to that one.
Before COVID. Yeah, it was so cute. It was like a German holiday market they had. It was adorable. It looked like a little village. I don't know what it's going to look like this year, but certainly they're promoting it as a really family-friendly. It's happening November 21st through 30th. There'll be local vendors, and they're going to have carolers there and Santa and reindeer. You know how they'll bring out reindeer and you can take photos. They'll have a Santa's mailbox there. They'll even have a family day on November 28th with like a DJ and live performances. So it sounds, I'm definitely going to check it out. I loved it the last time it was here, and we'll have to see what they do this year.
Callie Herbst, founder of Milwaukee with Kids. Thanks so much, Callie.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
The Milwaukee Holiday Guide 2025 Best Christmas Lights, Santa Events, and Festive Family Fun up now at mkewithkids.com. Mm-hmm. So why did the Packers go for what would have been a record-breaking field goal instead of chucking one into the end zone? Head coach Matt LaFleur answers that question in sports at 6:45.
Do you want to be a millionaire? Or how about even more?
Happening today.
Yes, today's the big day.
Are we paying attention to the lottery again?
Yes, Mega Millions jackpot is now, let's see, how much are we at? It's the eighth largest now, and it's tonight. It is nearly $1 billion. Yes, so, I mean, you wouldn't get $1 billion, obviously, with the tax and all that, but still... This is when we usually pay attention when it gets to
the
billion.
I think that's the new threshold. It has to be a billion or pretty near.
And now I almost wonder if we have to wait until it does get to a billion before we pay attention.
That would be fine by
because
me.
Too late. We're paying attention.
Well, you're right. The top 10 biggest Mega Millions jackpots of all time have all been $1 billion, except for number 10 was $656 million. So
top 10er, okay.
This is number 8 right now at $900 million. So it'll get to a billion if it doesn't go tonight.
The last time we did this, it was Powerball, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So Mega Millions, here we go. The largest Mega Millions ever was sold in Florida a couple of years ago, $1.6 billion. Remember, if you do win, it's not that easy.
You're more likely to go to the ER for a pogo stick-related injury or become the president of the United States.
Fun fact, same thing.
Come with me now. Go with me now.
Busy Tuesday morning on Wisconsin's Morning News. The new head of Milwaukee's Office of Community Wellness and Safety, formerly the Office of Violence Prevention, is getting out there. A controversial pick for an assortment of reasons, not the least of which was he's a convicted murderer. Selecting that guy to do this job is either out-of-the-box brilliant, because he's been there, he speaks the language of the streets, can reach these young people going in the wrong direction, or it's out of your mind stupid. Time will tell. Adam Purcell is his name, and WTMJ's Adam Roberts was leading questions for Purcell at a panel discussion. Milwaukee Press Club's Newsmakers event this week.
Adam Purcell's tenure as director of Milwaukee's Office of Community Wellness and Safety began with a phone call from Mayor Cavalier Johnson's office about 2 weeks before his appointment was made public August 18th.
When the mayor of the city that you live in reaches out to you and says, we feel that you would be in a good position to help make our community safer, I feel it's my responsibility as a citizen of this city to accept.
His August appointment didn't come without fireworks. Many, including members of Milwaukee's Common Council, questioned the decision, given Purcell was not one of the three original finalists for the job. In response, buried amidst several dozen council amendments to Mayor Johnson's proposed 2026 budget is a plan to make OCWS its own city department, which, as Purcell explains, would grant the council the ability to accept or reject appointments.
So now they would get their chance to, if they don't like me, if they don't like what I've done, in a couple of weeks, I theoretically couldn't have a job.
It's unclear if Purcell would be grandfathered into his current post. Others have questioned Purcell's ability to combat violence, given his status as a convicted murderer. Purcell served over 20 years in prison for the death of Robert Bruce in an act of gang violence in 1995. But Purcell maintains the lived experience he gained from Bruce's death, as well as his time behind bars, sets him apart from prior OCWS directors.
If you have somebody with their gun in their hand and they're pulling a trigger, or even a couple moments before then, you've already lost the battle.
Purcell aims to focus on preventing violence amongst Milwaukee's youth in an effort to keep them from going down the same path as him 30 years ago.
As soon as I started to connect with those groups, that's when you have to intervene.
Adam Roberts, WTMJ News.
And I guess that's where he could find success of, like, who's going to buy into what some city director of this, that, or the other is going to say, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe
this guy's lived the life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe he's the one who can reach him. He's got an important job, so whether you like the pick or not, you do have to hope he is successful. Coming up on 6:45, sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all sports desk.
Packers' next opponent is 2-8 and just fired their head coach, so maybe we can win that one. Ugh. Eagles fans celebrating at Lambeau Field following their 10-7 win over the Packers on Monday night. The Pack's futile offensive effort ended with this whimper.
Here we go. Snap was low and the kick no chance. And this game belongs to Philadelphia.
No chance. ESPN ABC Sports on the call. Time expiring as the Packers kicker, Brandon McManus, attempted a 64-yard field goal to tie the game. Eagles tried to ice him. So what had happened was, you know, you line up for the kick and then they call timeout.
Yep.
Just in time. Well, he did get that kick off. It fell well short. So out of that timeout then, Packers lined it up again. Second kick was worse than the first. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked, all right, having just seen that, don't you decide to just chuck one downfield, try that one?
Well, great question. That was basically the information I got was that he was close when he took the swing at the 64-yarder. And, I mean, I don't know what the percentages would equate to, but, you know, Hail Mary's not by any stretch a gimme, so... Trust me, it definitely crossed my mind.
Yeah, especially since we couldn't complete a pass all night anyway, much less, right? Jordan Love, 20 for 36 passing, under 200 yards, no touchdowns. The offense struggling. Second straight home loss for the Packers. We're on the road this week. We got the 2-8 Giants in a noon kick on Sunday.
You win that one, right? Maybe?
At this point, I don't know.
Oof.
Yes.
If you were distracted by the Packers game and didn't watch the Bucs, you missed a good one.
Some way, somehow, the Bucs will sneak out of here like bank robbers in the night.
Yeah, they did. A little big bag of cash with a dollar sign on it as they snuck out of there. The Bucs come back from 13 down in the fourth quarter to beat the Dallas Mavericks 116-114. It was back and forth at the end. Ryan Rollins keeps playing like a star.
Bounce pass to Giannis, left of the lane. Passes to Rollins. Rollins puts it on the floor. Dribble drive, attack, scoops the shot off the window and in. So Ryan Rollins answers for the Bucks. They have reclaimed the lead with 17.9 seconds to go.
They'd go back and forth. Came down the free throws by the Mavericks. They needed to hit three. They missed the second one, so the Bucks would win. Boy, that Rollins kid, man.
That was a exacto knife. kind of move there from Ryan Rollins.
This is a special kid. Up next, the Hornets tomorrow night, college basketball. Milwaukee Panthers, they beat up on Little Rock 92-72.
It is coming up on 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on Wisconsin's Morning News. Bringing in friend of the program, two-time sports writer of the year, Lori Nickel from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I don't know, where do you want to start, Lori? I guess. So Eric and I had a question.
Hug. I'll give you a hug.
Okay. Yeah, we would take that. So you heard running back Josh Jacobs was talking about this 4th-and-1 play. It's late in the game. The Packers are trying to drive for a winning or a tying score. 4th-down-and-1, they got to go for it. And Josh Jacobs said, no, the Eagles were calling it out at the line. They knew what we were running. How often does that happen? Does that happen more often than we think?
Not like this, not the way it was played out, you know, no.
Not I mean, the answer I we think, wanted.
No, I don't think it's that common where they just knew it, you know, before. I mean, they knew, they were making moves and ready, you know, before he was even in motion or anything. They knew everything. And Brian Wood's story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I think, is a must read for anybody who wants to see the breakdown of that. That's stunning. That's pretty big. And that seems symptomatic of maybe a problem that they're having on the offense and maybe the play calling up in Green Bay. I understand there's a ton of injuries and everything. What happened to Josh where it threw him off and then he didn't want to run the play and run right into a brick wall? That's not unusual. I mean, that people are human. They don't want to go into a failing play. But for the opposing team to call out your play and know it immediately on 4th down. No, that's very unusual. That's dramatic.
You know, Lori, one thing that stood out to me, and I know it's not unprecedented. I know that LaFleur, being an offensive-minded head coach, obviously he's always focusing more on the offense. This isn't the first time, but there was a shot of him early in the game. Like, it was early in the game where the defense was on the field, the Eagles had the ball, and his back is to the game, and he's on the sidelines with his. He's like got at a table, and he's like looking at an iPad, and he's got this like consternation, you know, this look on his face, like ah. Oh, and he's busy changing some plays around or looking at something on his call sheet, like he was rejiggering everything. It just seems so strange to see him doing that, at least at that moment, not even watching the game because he was poring over what wasn't working with his play call.
I tell you, in this day and age, when you see the coaching staff to be almost as deep as the players' roster, that doesn't surprise me, you know, and it's happening at every pro sport. You know, the NBA, there's so many assistant coaches, there's barely room for guys on the bench. But I will say that's also what you saw. I missed that part, Eric, but what you saw, you know, Green Bay's offense is struggling, not only overall, but struggling early. What was Love, he was something like, he had like 12 yards or something in the second quarter. When you're a really good offense, you want to assert yourself early. You want those demanding, dominating plays early. And if that's not happening, Matt LaFleur was probably trying to scramble to figure out what was going around that early. And so, again, that's not typical to see what you saw. You know, you usually don't turn your hold back to your whole team. But I understand why he did it. They have a really good defensive coordinator. So.
Looked like they set up office space for him. You know, like, do you need a chair, Matt? Or like, can we get you something right now?
He's on a bike. Oh, he's getting his exercise on a bike.
All right, give us some reason for optimism here, Lori. Make us feel better. A lot of football yet to play. This team could still come together and gel. It's just I'm not seeing indications of that.
Well, the NFL is totally designed and set up for the next man up mentality. I understand. I mean, Green Bay, just right now, you have to just, they lost some key players who weren't playing. Tight end, you know, their top draft pick. You shouldn't be relying on your first round draft pick at this point, totally. But they are dealing with a ton of injuries, and they were still competitive. I think your optimism, though, still comes with Jordan Love and his demeanor and how he handles things. You rarely, that's the first time in a while I've seen him get upset or kind of show some anger to things that were falling apart. So I still think he's a better than average quarterback, actually. I think he can help this team. But I think there's more concern right now than optimism overall, just because this is this is the first time I've read or been seeing things about LaFleur's future and pressure on him and the quote-unquote hot seat. And, boy, we are bloodthirsty for that kind of thing, for the coaching cares of things. So there's a lot of pressure on this team now. I have more concern than optimism. I'm so sorry.
Speaking of coaches, so they're playing the Giants in New York next Sunday, and they just fired their head coach.
So. Right. Oh, my gosh, and it's November 11th. Vince, I'm a little worried about you. I know. But, you know, I do think Love is a really good quarterback. Those guys want to play for him. That's they true. Really do. And Josh Jacobs, my gosh, he just, that one touchdown, he had like nine people hanging on him. He is a tough locker room leader as well. They will not fold, but they have to figure out their more creative offensive plays and not in the second quarter, but before that, you know, when they're not scrambling during the game.
Good stuff. Lori Nichol with us this morning from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thanks, Lori.
Take care.